very much for coming tonight, and it's cold day still. We got one more days and then it'll be good. Let's open our Bible in Luke chapter 2. We're going to read from Luke chapter 2, and also we're going to read from Galatians chapter 2 verse 20. I just want to give a little bit of input of that. Grace, it's a blessing. Tonight, our message is not about grace, really, but yeah, we can say the grace of Christ, because everything that we have actually is grace of God. The grace of God. Mercy and grace, those are two things that sometimes we use interchangeably, but mercy is not getting what we deserve. And grace is getting what we don't deserve. That's a little bit confusing, but mercy is not getting what we deserve. Grace is getting what we don't deserve. In other words, mercy would be not going to hell. That's mercy. But grace would be God bringing us to heaven. You know, God could say, okay, you're forgiven. I forgive you. You're not going to hell where you're supposed to be going, then you'll just going to a limbo. You know, you'll just be on the ground. You'll be there for eternity. That would be mercy, not getting what we deserve, which is hell. But God did not stop there. He gave us grace, which is, okay, you're not going to hell, but I'm bringing you to heaven. So that's what grace is. So tonight I want to talk to you about Jesus Christ, about the philosophy of Christ. Who is Christ? There are lots of, I think it's too loud, my friend. Can you turn it down a little bit? There are lots of misinformation about the Lord Jesus Christ. And I would like to add up a little bit on, make a clear definition of who Christ is and what he is and who he is, what is his role in us as a Christian. Luke chapter 2, verse 11. We're going to read on that, and then read on Galatians chapter 2, verse 20. Let's all stand up, please. Luke chapter 2, verse 11. Let's read, "For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord." This text we usually use on Christmas Day, but I want to use this tonight to clarify who Christ is, because here it's very clear saying who Jesus is. "For unto you is born this day a city of David, a Savior," that's who Jesus is, "which is," and he named Christ, Christos, Christ the Lord, Jehovah. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you tonight that we can come here and listen to the Word of God, study the Word of God, and encourage one another. And we pray, Lord, that it will be a blessing to everyone, that the Word will be spoken, and our minds will have a clear understanding of what you have in your Word. And let me speak clearly, and help me speak clearly, and in the guidance of your Holy Spirit as well. We pray in Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. The Bible says, "For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord." First of all, I want to talk to you about the position of Christ. The position of Christ. Who is this Christ? Who is he? Number one, he says, a Savior. Jesus Christ as a Savior. We always hear this question say, "Do you believe that Jesus is a Savior?" Okay? So I should ask that in person. Do you believe that Jesus is a Savior? And you might say, yes, I believe that Jesus is a Savior. But you know, there's a better important, a more important question than that. And that is Jesus Christ your Savior? You can say, yes, I believe that Jesus is a Savior. But that does not necessarily mean that he's your Savior. Is Jesus Christ your Savior? Is he your Savior? Not just you believe that he is a Savior, but is he a personal Savior to you. The Bible says, unto us is born that day a Savior, Jesus Christ. If Jesus is the Savior, then somebody has to be a savee. I don't know if that's in English, but somebody has to be, has someone who needed to be saved, right? If Jesus comes as a Savior, then there might be somebody, there should be somebody who needs to be saved. Then if you say, well, I don't need to be saved because I'm good. I'm a good person. I don't think I need to be saved. Then what you're saying is Jesus is not your Savior, right? You're saying is Jesus is not your Savior because you don't need Him. See, I like, can you flash there our saying from Tozer? I like what he said in there. Basically, what he's saying, it is Jesus or nothing. Is Jesus the Lord of all, or Jesus not Lord at all? He says, God never negotiates with men. Jesus Christ's death on the cross put an end to any kind of negotiation. It is now Christ or nothing. Christ or nothing. It is now God's word in its entirety or nothing. Some people like to sit on the fence. Some people like to say, well, you know what? I don't really believe in, I'm not really an atheist, but I'm not a believer either. I'm kind of, you know, yes and no. But there's no such thing as like that. It is Jesus your Savior or is He not? Is Jesus your Savior or is He not? And if people don't need to be saved, then the death of Christ is the greatest tragedy in history. Or in other words, the death of Christ is nonsense. If Jesus came as a Savior and we don't need to be saved, you say you don't need to be saved, then the death of Christ is a nonsense. Is Jesus a Savior? Is Jesus your Savior or is He not? What I would like you to see again is in verse 11, Luke chapter 2, verse 11 says, for unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, not just a Savior, the Bible says, which is Christ the Lord. You know, the word Christ, that's not Jesus' name. The word Christ, His name is Jesus. The Bible says, you shall call His name Jesus. Jehovah saves, but they have put that name Christ, that means the anointed one. That's why we now call Him Jesus the Christ. Jesus the Christ. But that Jesus, the Christ, the Bible says is not just a Savior, but He is Lord. He is Lord. What does the Lord mean? What is the Lord? That means the Lord means a supreme being, somebody that is above you, someone that you obey, someone that is your master. That is the Lord. Well, the answer is Jesus your Lord? He might be your Savior, but is He your Lord? This is another level. Is He your Savior? You say, yes, He is my Savior. But the next question is Jesus your Lord? Well, is that different? Yes, it is very different. Listen to this. Jesus, as your Savior, will give you salvation. What does God require for us to be saved? That you believe in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, that He rose from the dead for your salvation, that there's no way for you to be saved but Jesus alone, and you get saved. Jesus, as your Savior, will give you salvation, but Jesus, as your Lord, will give you joy. Jesus, as your Lord, will give you joy. There are lots of Christians, they say they're Christians, they believe in God and Jesus as their Savior, but Jesus is not the master of their life. Jesus, as your Savior, will give you salvation, but Jesus, as your Lord, will give you joy. Let's put it in another word like this. Jesus, as your Savior, will bring you to heaven, but Jesus, as your Lord, will bring heaven to you. See, the reason why Christians get frustrated. You know, as a Christian, you can get frustrated. You know, as a Christian, you can live a Christian life and not be satisfied. You know, as a Christian, you can live a Christian life and be out of God's will. Do you think God's will for you is to suffer and suffer as a Christian? And I mean, suffer in a way that you get frustrated with your Christian life? You think that's what God's want for you? Is that God's will for you? To not enjoy your Christian life? You know, if you're not enjoying your Christian life, there's something wrong in your Christian life. It's not that there's something wrong with God's design. There's something wrong in what we are doing. Because the Bible says that I will give them life and life abundantly. God wants you to be a joyful Christian. And you know, the truth is joy cannot be contained in a place. Joy is not just in a church. Joy is not just in a certain place, a store. No. Joy cannot be contained in a certain situation. Joy is not just when it's Christmas and you're getting some present. Joy is not just there. There are lots of Christians who suffer for Christ and yet they are rejoicing. There are lots of Christians, they're on the cross. They're dying for their Savior, and yet they're rejoicing. There are lots of Christians, they're bound, they're in jail, and yet they are rejoicing. There are lots of Christians, they work day and night. They go to jail. It's minus 20. It's below 30, and yet they are rejoicing. There are lots of Christians who serve God, and their body is tired. They're tired. It would be easier for them to just lay down and sleep or watch TV, stay at home. But they don't do that because serving the Lord, they are rejoicing. So joy cannot be contained in a place, cannot be contained in a thing, or cannot be contained in a situation. Joy is in a person, and his name is Jesus Christ. Jesus as your Lord will bring heaven to you. You know, that's the secret of Christian life. That's the secret of Christian life. It's making Jesus not just your Savior, but making him as your Lord. To be honest with you, there are some people in this place, they're ready to die. They don't care if they die. You would say, how come a person would come to that point of thinking that he doesn't care if he dies? Well, some of you are scared to die. You're scared to die because you're going to leave your possession, or you're going to leave something here that you dearly miss, and that's very important for you. But some people, they don't, because they're serving the Lord and they are happy and they're ready anytime. And you know what? If there's something that is more important for us, for you, other than seeing the Lord Jesus Christ, that's not God's will. That is something that is between you and God. That is something that is stopping you from enjoying your Christian life. Give your life to Christ. Make him as your Savior and make him as your Lord. I want to take you in Galatians chapter 2, verse 20. That's why, look at Paul. Look at what kind of mentality he has, what level of Christianity he has. He says in verse number 20, Galatians chapter 2, he says, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. He says, I am crucified with Christ. First question, was Paul crucified with Christ physically? Nope. Was he crucified sometime? Nope. Why did he say, I am crucified with Christ? What he was saying is, I'm dead. No more Paul. The old Paul is dead. I am dead. I am dead. And the reason why I'm dead is I'm dead in Christ. I am dead with Christ. I died with Christ. And that is exactly what defines a joyful Christian life. Unless you are dead to yourself, you will never be happy. Unless you are dead to self, dead to old life, you'll never enjoy your Christian life. You'll never enjoy your Christian life. In Romans chapter 6, same writer, same person, said this. Romans chapter 6, verse number 6. Listen to this. Knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him. Who is that him? That's Jesus. Our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, and that henceforth we should not serve sin. Same idea, same words. He said, our old man being crucified with Christ. That is the Lordship of Jesus Christ. That is when you say the Lord, Jesus Christ is my Lord. That's what happens, is when your body is crucified for him. Now, the question is, have you done that? Did you know that you're supposed to crucify yourself? That you're supposed to be crucified with Christ? That you're supposed to be dead with Christ in order for you to start enjoying the Christian life? And some of us, they don't want to crucify the old life. They want to feed it. They want to resuscitate it. They want to give it water, and try to revive the old life. And that's why you go back and forth from old to new, and you get confused, and you get frustrated. There's nothing frustrating when a person who is not saved try to live like a Christian. And there's nothing more frustrating than that, than when a Christian try to live an unbeliever. Try to live like an unbeliever. You can't. It's either Christ or nothing. It's either Jesus, the Lord of all, or Jesus, not Lord at all. If Christ is your Lord, the old self has to be dead. He says in verse 7, for he that is dead is freed from sin. Now if we dead with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him. He said, he that is dead, that means dead in Christ, crucified in Christ, he is freed from sin. Remember what Jesus said, our motto? He said, if the Son shall make you free, you shall be free indeed. That's what he's saying. That if you are dead with sin, dead with Christ, you will be free from sin. The analogy that he uses is a dead man. A dead man cannot sin. He is dead. He's dead. He can't sin. You can step on him. You can kick him. He's not going to respond because he is dead. So that's what he's saying. If you live your life as dead with Christ, the old man is dead with Christ, you will be free from sin. That means sin is attached to you and bugging you every day. But if you live crucified with Christ, sin will be cut off. And you'll be free from sin. You'll be free, and you can live your life for Jesus Christ. Let's look now, number two, the power of Christ. Let's look in Galatians chapter 2, verse 20. He says, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. He says, I am not dead. I am alive. I live. But this is the three amazing word here. Yet not I. I am alive. Yes, I am alive physically, but it is not me. You know that you're supposed to be like that. We're supposed to be like that. We are alive, but it is not I. Who is it supposed to be? Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. That's the power of Christ. That's the power of Christian. Christ lives in me. What does that mean? You know, that's the mystery of Christianity. It's a mystery. If you go in Colossians chapter 1, it's the same word. Colossians chapter 1, verse 27, it says, "To whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you." What is the mystery that we have? Christ in us, the hope of glory. What he's saying is, this is a thing that we can't understand. Can you understand Christ in me, Christ in you, Christ in everyone here? How many Christ is that? That's a lot. And then Christ is through all the Christians in all the world. Christ is in them. Well, you say, how can that be? Well, that's why it's called the mystery. The mystery of Christ. Christ in us, the hope of glory. But you have to understand this and you have to learn this. And this is the secret of victorious Christian life. Listen, you know the difference with Christianity and, I mean, the real Christianity and all the religions in the world is this. All the religions in the world says, do, 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 and you'll have this. Okay? The religion says, do, 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 and have. That means do this, do that, do this, do that, and you'll attain to this. But Christ says, have this, and you'll do this, and you'll do that, and you'll be able to do that, and you'll be able to do that. What does that mean? You know, if you're a Buddhist, you have to meditate a lot and meditate and suppress yourself, and you don't eat, you eat a little bit, and you have to be good and do this and do that, and hopefully you will attain what they call the enlightenment state. You'll be enlightened just like Buddha, right? But you gotta do this, you gotta do this. And same thing, basically in all the religions, you gotta do this, you have to do this, you have to be like this, and you might attain the paradise, okay? And you'll have lots of wives, and you have this price and this reward for you. So every religion, any religion that you would see, it's do this, and do this, and you will have this. But Jesus is the other way. Jesus is, have me first. Have me first, and you'll do this, and you will be able to do this, and you'll be able to do that. So what he's saying is, if you have Jesus Christ in you, that's what we're saying. Christ in us. Christ living in us. Yet not I, but Christ lives in me. That's the secret of Christian life. For us, Christ has to be in us first. And when he is in us, we can say, I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. The false religion says, you have to do all things, you have to be this, and then hopefully you'll have heaven, or you'll have the blessing of Allah, or you'll have the blessing of Buddha, or whatever. But it's different from Christianity. So any religion that claims to be Christian, but their formula is do, 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 then you have eternal life, that is a pagan religion in the mask of Christianity. Because the real teaching in the Bible is have Jesus in your heart and he'll change your life. It's a change from inside out. That's what we say, change from the inside out. That's Jesus. Amazing. There was a story about a person who, he saw a friend, and a friend has a car. And he said, wow, that is amazing, a car. I used to be just walking, and this friend has a car. I mean, he can go anywhere he wants. He has a car. So he bought a car, but he doesn't know how to drive it. So he would just push the car everywhere he goes. He would push it. And when it goes uphill, it's hard to push. when it's time going downhill, he can ride on it, and oh wow, this is amazing, I can go down, you know, and drive, and wow, go fast. He doesn't know how to use it until one day a friend said, you know what, let me help you, I want to show you something. He said, what is that? He said, give me the key. So he got the key, and he said, let me hop in. So he went in, the friend went into the driver's seat. He said, yeah, go on the other side and I'll show you something. And the friend put this key on the ignition, and he turned the key, and he heard this weird noise. Boom, boom. What is that? He said, that's the engine. That's the engine. He said, watch out, look. So he put the gear, and he stepped on the gas, and they start riding. He said, wow, this is amazing. You mean I can do that? Yeah, you can do this. You can do this, you know. He said, let me try. And so he tried, put the key, and start the engine. And from then on, he enjoyed his car. Right? And a lot of Christians are like that. We try to do things on our own. Okay? We try to push it. We try to do the ministry on our own self, on our own strength, when we have Jesus Christ in us. Jesus Christ in us. You know what should be the driving force of us doing all of this? It's not him or this or the future. It has to be Jesus Christ. Unless you learn how to depend on Christ and use that Christ living in us, living in you, and unless you learn how to live with that, you're going to get tired. You're going to get frustrated. Somebody's going to come up in your face and you'll get frustrated and you'll quit because you're doing it the wrong way. But if Jesus, the Christ that is in us, is the reason for everything, it doesn't matter if people get mad at us. It doesn't matter if nobody shows up. We're doing it for the Lord anyways. Amen? It doesn't matter if people misunderstand us. It's not for them anyways. It's for Jesus. We're doing it for Christ. Because Christ living in us. See the difference between the false religion and the real religion that is Christ-centered. So, Christians, I pray that we would do everything because Christ lives in us, and let him manifest in our lives. Remember when Jesus, he transfigured in the mountain. You know what happened in Jesus Christ? The deity that is inside of him was manifested. There was glory on that day. There was glory, and he manifested his the Christ that is inside of him. And you know, same thing. There is a deity inside of us. The Bible says Christ in us. There's a Holy One inside of you. There's a Holy One inside of you. And the proper way of being a Christian is to let that Holy One, the person that is inside of you, let his glory be revealed in the way you say, and the way you walk, and the way you talk, and the things that you hold, and the things that you look at. That's the way it's supposed to be. And then lastly, he says, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life, look, which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. I want to talk about the provision of Christ. First of all, he provided us a faith to live on. He did not just give us the faith to save us, but a faith for everyday life that we can live on. You know, as a person, there is a faith in you, but that faith is not enough. That faith has to be with Christ. That faith has to be toward Christ. Remember what the disciple says, Lord, increase our faith. Increase our faith. And in a sense, you know, you would look around you, there are some people who really have a hard time with faith, and some people are very good at that. You know, they naturally have that. But a person who has a natural faith will amount to nothing until he give it for the Lord. He use it for the Lord Jesus Christ. But your faith and my faith can be increased, just like the disciple says. And that's what God wants us to be. Live by faith of the Son of God. And then he says, who loved me and gave himself for me. And that should be the reason for us to serve him. The reason is, think about this. Jesus gave himself for me. Is there any higher act than that? Nothing. You go back to Romans chapter 6, verse 6. 5, I believe 5. Romans chapter 5, he says, 5 verse 8. But God commendeth his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Four words. Christ died for us. Christ, the greatest person, died, the greatest act. You cannot go beyond that. You know, he could have sent his angel, died for us, but it's not his angel, it was him. He could have sent himself here and visited us and then went back to heaven, but he didn't do that. He said he came back down and died for us. Nothing bigger than that. Christ died for us. That's the greatest sinner, us. The provision of Christ, that should be enough for us, enough to drive us to serve him, to give ourselves to him. He who died for us, what are you going to do? He died for you. He gave himself for you. You can never, I can never overdo. I can never give more than what Jesus has given for me. Who is Jesus? Is he Savior? Is he a Lord to you? Is he the Master? Is he in you? Is he the driving force of your Christian life? Or is he not at all? Lord Heavenly Father, we thank you tonight that we can